This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I have part 4 of chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador on the way on this episode. Our Vatican Ambassador BC, the former Vatican assassin, is on a secret base on the dark side of the moon. He's discovering that the universe is a much larger place than he knew. Triple agent Anita Bendix Capituna, works for the Project, an extra-governmental group who secretly has gone well beyond Mars, with a secret asteroid base and outposts in other solar systems or other star systems, and relations with aliens. They've told BC about this because one of these alien races may have infected humankind with a deadly plague which is now raging. They told BC this was the Eldred. We're going to learn more about this race, these aliens, in part 4 of 5 of chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. I had to chop Chapter 13 down into a few parts, 5 parts, because it was almost 2 hours long, so got another big chunk of that chapter. BC learning all about the project from Krish and Dell, so we'll be getting into more of that. I want to remind you, before October is done, you can get a free graphic novel. You can get the Vatican Assassin graphic novel for free if you're a podcast listener or a patron. Just head to drivethroughcomics.com. The discount is actually tied to the link, which you'll find in the show notes. So be sure you click that and or copy and paste it into your browser. And then head to drivethroughcomics to get yourself your Vatican Assassin graphic novel for free today. That tells the story from the first novel of the trilogy in comic book form, with the art by Christian Navarro and by Juan Carlos Quatordio. If you would like to check that out, you can do so for free. A free PDF is yours through drivethroughcomics.com. Look for the link in the show notes for that. A big thank you once again to my patrons. If you are a patron, you know I need your help and you help. So thank you. If you'd like to become a patron, I'd love to have you. You can do that for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and follow the links. I've got a new Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England calendar out, too. If you'd like to see some of the pictures that are in my Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England book in color, this is your chance to do that. It's a calendar that ties into the book, with each month being a different color photo of a black and white picture that's in the book, and an excerpt from the book used as the description on the photo. So if you'd like to find out more about that, just go to ancientstonemysteries.com and look for the calendar. I will head back to the dark side of the moon with BC next in part 4 of chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's part 4 of chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. Krish and Del watch BC absorb Anita's news. Is this for real? Eldred, Flays, Domo, Do-Re-Mi?
Anita said she'd already told you the plague was non-terrestrial,
Del confirms with BC, who nods.
We thought it might be the UIN, BC tells them.
Yeah, and they thought it was you. Big surprise there,
Krish snorts.
They know about the UIN? How? More spies? More triple agents?
Nice,
Del says.
Anyway, it is not the UIN, not this time.
It's the Eldred? BC asks, to confirm.
The three scientists nod.
Are these Eldred all-powerful aliens? He asks them.
We don't know, Anita answers. They didn't seem to be, not at first.
But they could be,
Del says.
Or not, Krish chimes in. Quality information, BC mumbles out loud. How many times have you met them? He asks.
We've had only a few visits with them, Chris says. We thought we were getting to know them better, but they used us.
He seems heated. He shoots a sideways glance at Anita. She glares back at him.
We were,
Del says, cutting the tension between the two.
Perhaps a bit too hopeful.
What do you mean? BC asks, puzzled by the suddenly darker mood of the room. No one answers him. The room is silent.
Huh, BC grunts.
There's more going on here.
Okay, BC says, leaning back in his chair, arms open wide. What aren't you telling me? BC can see from the looks passed among Anita, Krish, and Del that he's onto something. Krish and Del stare at Anita. She looks back at BC, and then back and forth between Krish and Del, then back at BC. He can see the anguish in her eyes. Finally, she speaks.
We brought one of the Eldred to the moon, she tells him, where he probably infected the members of the conference.
Whoa, this is big. This is major. I did see her there.
So then, this plague is your fault, BC throws down the accusation. I can't believe it. You're telling me you helped an alien race kill us all. That's fucking brilliant. You guys really smart.
God save us from the scientists.
Jeesh,
Krish reacts first.
How do you really feel? We didn't all agree that the Eldred should be allowed to travel here,
Del says.
Anita shoots a look at him, but Del stands his ground.
It's Anita's fault, if it's anybody's, Krish offers.
What?
BC and Anita ask in unison.
You're in charge here. That makes it your fault. Plus, we did it your way,
Krish says to Anita.
She knows it's her fault, Krish says, turning to BC. That's why she dragged your sorry ass into this,
Krish smiles at his Sherlock Holmes turn.
Shows you just how desperate she is.
Anita tries to explain and defend herself.
The Eldred are new to us. We've been trying to get to know them better, but it hasn't been easy. They're a very secretive race, very close to outsiders. They're aloof, she says. They keep us at arm's length.
Yeah, even though they have such short little blue arms,
Chris jokes. Everybody gives him a look.
What? It was getting way too serious in here.
Chris protests in his own defense.
Thanks to you, Anita says.
I wouldn't get mad at him, BC admonishes her. You're the one who's got some explaining to do.
I knew she was trouble. Even as a scientist, she's trouble.
Look, I thought bringing one of them here would maybe lead them to open up to us a bit more. They seemed very interested in seeing the peace conference, Anita says.
They have expressed an interest in what they call our concept of religion, Del says.
We thought their interest, the way they warmed up to the idea of coming here to observe the peace conference, it made us think we were getting through to them, Anita says.
Who is this we? Krish asks her. You got a mouse in your pocket?
He turns to BC.
They played us for fools, he says, pointing a thumb at Anita.
The Eldred representative traveled to Lunar Prime with a delegation from the project, Del explains. It escaped our supervision for a brief period, about 3 hours. The Eldred was found unharmed, and nothing more was thought of it. Until people started getting sick and dying.
These guys fucked up big time.
Are you familiar with the old Greek concepts of hubris and nemesis? Krish asks BC.
Del intercedes.
Krish thinks our pride, our hubris, has led to this plague, that the Eldred are our nemesis, Del tells BC.
It's easy to second guess, Anita protests. Hindsight is 20/20. How did you let this happen? BC asks her. We were too trusting. Why do they want to kill us? BC asks. We don't know, Anita admits.
This doesn't make sense, BC argues. We know that, Anita sighs.
Did they give any indication? BC tries. Anita cuts in. There was no sign of malice, no sign they meant us any harm. If you only met one of them.
What? BC can't believe it. Meet one of them? One of these maybe murderers? I don't think so.
Anita begins to protest. They're so mellow. They're the last beings you'd even think would do.
Appearances can be deceiving, BC blasts back. And you, Ms. Anita, if that's really your name, would be Exhibit A for that axiom.
It doesn't do any good for us to raise our voices, Del states calmly.
His quiet settles the room.
We've been going at this briefing for a while. Perhaps we should take a break, rest, and come back at this fresh later on, Del suggests.
Are you kidding? BC protests. We've finally gotten down to the heart of things. The reason why I came here. Don't stop now. Del shakes his head, but agrees to go on.
Right.
Yes, Del, there's no reason to stop, Anita says. We'll be good. So, the Eldred are the bad guys, BC asks for clarification.
Bad guys?
Del almost sneers. I always do better when I can clearly define things, BC says. Black and white, good versus evil, friend versus enemy, us versus them. And the them of the Eldred, right? Ouch, Anita cringes. And you're the enemy of the English language, right, Campion? You know what I mean, he says. Yes, it looks like the Eldred did it, Anita confirms, and that is why I brought you here.
You know, the Flays or the Domo could have engineered it to look like the Eldred did it, Krish ventures.
Your pet theory again, Del chides him.
Why would they do that? BC asks Krish.
Why indeed, Del echoes BC's query.
I don't know, Krish muses. Maybe so we'll take the Eldred out for them? Get us to do the job of getting the Eldred out of their way? Lead us into doing their dirty work? They could have several reasons, Krish observes.
Are the aliens at war with each other? BC asks.
No, Del says. They tolerate each other. They marked out their borders and staked their territories and claimed their planets over 1 million years ago. It's very static out there. We're the newcomers to this pot of space. And they tolerate us.
No, I don't think that they do, BC rebukes Del. You know, this plague thing.
I stand corrected, Del admits. They had seemed to tolerate us, I should say. We've never seen any outright hostility on the part of any of the alien races. Certainly not between them. There are always some tensions, but they seem to work things out. Their cooperation could teach humans a thing or two,
Del thinks out loud. Well, again, except for our attempted genocide. BC again brings the scientist back to the matter at hand.
They do not fight wars, Del tells BC sternly. Not internally within their own races, and not with most other races. We strike them as unusually violent in this regard. We kill each other very easily, he admonishes BC.
The Eldred were particularly appalled at our violence toward each other, Anita chimes in. They never said anything to us. But we could see them draw back away from any sign of human aggression.
They're fascinated by our religions, but they visibly paled and even shook when they heard reports of violence between humans, and read the histories of our current and former wars,
Del says. They may have decided we were too violent a race to continue to live, Anita ponders aloud. What? BC answers sarcastically. Since you kill each other easily, you'll kill us eventually, so we'll preemptively kill you all now? Nice people. He shakes his head.
Almost makes me want to laugh. If only there wasn't so much at stake.
It's only a guess, Anita says.
Time to turn this around.
As I see it, we have two goals, BC tells them. We first need to cure this thing that's killing us. Then we need to strike back at the Eldred, so they can't do it to us again.
Confirming their suspicions, Krish says, that they were right to fear us.
Wrong, BC snaps at him. They changed the rules when they fucked with us first.
Careful, BC. We don't yet know the extent of the Eldred's holdings, Anita cautions. We've been to several of their outposts in the area, and what they consider outposts look to us like full-fledged colonies.
I always felt we were only seeing the tip of the iceberg, if you know what I mean.
I don't, BC admits.
I mean they're big, BC, really big, she says, shaking her head.
We have no idea how many they are in number, but we know that they outnumber us humans on a nearly infinite scale.
She closes her eyes and whispers, It's not a war we can win.
Why do we know so little?
BC demands of them.
Because we've only just begun to get to know them, Anita protests.
Yeah, too bad then that we'll have to kill them, BC cracks.
Nobody laughs.
You know, this could be a good thing, BC says.
How? No way.
I don't think so.
Okay, hear me out, BC tells them. If the public finds out we're facing an alien enemy, maybe the human race can unite in the face of a common foe. Fighting aliens might make other humans seem, I don't know, a lot less alien, I guess, BC observes. Maybe this is something that can unite the human race.
That's an interesting yet twisted way to look at it,
Krish answers first.
We could use the help, BC says. We haven't been able to do it by ourselves.
There is one more thing, Del says.
Isn't there always? BC sighs.
After the Eldred agent returned from his disappearance, he was strangely relaxed, Del tells him. He had seemed tense up to that point, although it can be hard to read alien body language.
Actually, the Eldred act a lot like us, Krish says. Body language-wise, I mean.
We'd always observe this tension in them, as a race, ever since we first met them, Anita says. We thought it was just the way they were. But after he came back from disappearing, the Eldred who had come with us to Lunar Prime was almost, geesh, almost carefree. It was weird, she says. She looks from Krish to Del, then back at BC.
So, that pretty much does it, she tells him. Now you know everything we know, she smiles.
So, she says, turning to BC, do you want to head out to the asteroid base tonight or wait until tomorrow morning?
What?
To the asteroid base, BC manages to say, though stunned. You mean we're going out to...
Well, yeah, it's the next logical step, Anita says, cutting him off.
You really should meet the old man. I told him I thought you were the right person to help us. He's big on having the right person with the right set of skills on the right project at the right time for whatever project we're working on. It's one of his things.
I told him you have the skills we need right now. He wants to meet you.
Thanks, BC tells her. I think. But I am tired, and if I'm meeting the old man, I'd like to be at my best. How about we go tomorrow morning?
That's fine. Krish, can you show Campion to his room? I want to go over something with Del here.
Sure, Krish agrees.
Campion?
BC gets up to follow Krish, who's already on his way out the door of the conference room.
I'll give you a wake-up call with enough time to eat and get ready before we fly out, Anita tells him as he leaves the room.
Thanks, BC says.
BC follows Krish to his room, a nondescript stateroom with a bed, desk, and chair, and refresher. When he's left alone, BC lies down on the bed and lets the incredible tale he has just been told sink in.
Wow, what a mindful. We are not alone. Matter of fact, we've got lots of company. Who are the Eldred, the Flays, the Domo? How lucid is the old man?
BC's head is spinning as he tries to fall asleep.
The Domo are vampires? The Flays flew the UFOs? The Eldred are trying to kill us?
BC wakes to a ringing calm.
Didn't even feel like I fell asleep, but I must have.
I'm awake, he answers the calm.
Good, because this is your wake-up call, Anita's voice rings out from a hidden speaker.
Right,
BC says. We're leaving for the asteroid base in 1 hour. Please be ready, she says, and the comm clicks off. BC gets up and gets freshened up best he can.
A change of clothes and a shower would be better. I'd like to be able to check my messages, too. See some news, find out how bad this thing is spreading now. There's no outside contact here. And now we'll just, what, bip out to the asteroids? We're moving pretty quickly.
The room alarm rings in an hour. BC opens the door on Anita, waiting for him.
Ready? She asks him.
I guess, BC says. I would have liked to have gotten a shower in. Fussy, fussy, she chides him. You'll be fine. She makes a show of smelling him. You don't stink too bad, Campion, she says with a laugh. The ship is waiting for us at the lock, same place we came in. Come on.
BC follows Anita through the base to the airlock. She opens the door and then steps aside so BC can step through first. Go ahead, she says. Time for your universe to expand. BC chuckles in spite of himself and steps through the airlock into another flasher.
It's a different ship than the one we came over on yesterday. Looks bigger, at least inside. Wonder what the outside looks like. Doesn't look like anyone's home.
BC looks down the long, empty corridor in both directions as Anita cycles the airlock closed behind them.
Big ship? He asks Anita.
What? She says.
Figures out what he said.
Oh, yeah, big ship. Bigger than the last one we were on, anyway. She gestures up the corridor to their right.
Let's head up to the bridge.
Is this going to be a long trip? BC asks her.
Nah, the bridge isn't that far, Anita says.
Before BC can protest, she laughs.
A joke! The trip won't take long either. We'll travel up off the elliptic, turn on the transpace drive, and be there almost instantaneously. The longest part of the trip is flying far enough away from a planet's gravity well, up to where we have to be in order to make the jump safely, and then flying down from the transit point on the other end down into the asteroid base. The transpace event is surprisingly fast. The whole flight takes about an hour.
Just an hour? Wow! BC is impressed.
Some of our interstellar trips are even faster, Anita tells him. We can transit from almost anywhere, but don't dare to do so in the asteroids. So we'll take a little while to fly into the base. It's in a busy neighborhood. The safe point is a lot further out than it is for most of the planets we visit.
I'm still wrapping my head around that one.
The corridor branches. BC stops and then follows Anita down the left branch. We don't want to transit in open space around here, you know? Too many stray rocks, she says as they walk. We're here. She punches a code into a panel in the wall that opens the sealed airtight door they've come to. She leads BC through another airlock and onto the bridge of the ship.
Man, this sure looks different than that UTZ cruiser's bridge I was on during the war. So simple looking.
They've stepped into a low-domed room, paneled in white enamel and glass, bordered by chrome molding. The back of the room is solid white, the front of the dome entirely clear.
It's like being inside an invisible cookie dipped in milk, with a pilot inside.
A woman sits in a white sculpted chair in the center of the room, her ebony skin a striking contrast to the stark white dome interior. Her smile is even more striking as she stands to greet them.
I think I'm in love, maybe lust. She's beautiful.
What the fuck? Her chair and the bank of controls she had been looking at have just melted into the floor behind her. Anita elbows BC.
Is that cool or what? Oh, stop leering at her, she chastises him.
Welcome aboard, Anita, the woman says. Is this Ambassador Campion?
It is, BC says and extends his hand.
Bernard Campion, this is Sensha Williams. She'll be our pilot. Sensha, this is BC.
BC, Sensha asks.
My friends call me BC, he says. I hope you will too.
You're quite a charmer for a priest, Sensha says.
NCC reform and all, we're all pretty loose these days, BC quips.
I see, Sensha says.
Anita doesn't say anything. The bridge grows quiet.
It's quiet, BC observes.
I like it that way, Sensha says.
BC looks around.
I like the way your chair melted into the floor layer like that, BC says awkwardly, trying to maintain the conversation and break the silence.
Alien tech, he asks.
We came up with that, Anita and Sensha say, practically in unison.
The project, Anita explains further.
Pretty cool, BC says, nodding. Does the ship have any weapons? He asks Sensha.
Sure does. I like it that way, too, she says.
Where are your gunners? You're looking at them.
You?
Me. I can do everything from here. Guns, conventional drive, and transpace drive. It's all at my fingertips, she says proudly.
But this is a big ship, BC protests.
Is it? Maybe by your standards. But we've had the time and developed the tech and incorporated the tech we found on the alien base and on other worlds. Makes this big ship seem pretty small. And you should see some of the Flay's vehicles if you want to talk big.
Really?
Oh yeah,
Sensha assures him.
Well, you two ready to rock? She asks.
Sure, where do you want us? Anita asks her.
Hold on a sec. She turns and waves her arm. Her chair and the console melt back up into existence. She leans over and presses a series of buttons in the arm of the chair.
Two more chairs melt up into place behind Sensha's.
Have a seat, she says.
Cool. BC can't help but say it as he walks over to his seat. Anita sits down next to him.
I guess we're ready, Anita says.
Good. We've been moving up off the plane, and we'll be transiting soon, Sensha tells him over her shoulder.
BC can see her tapping at the console in front of her. Then she sits back. BC feels a lurch in his stomach. He hears and feels a low rumble.
How long until transpace? BC asks after a few seconds.
Now,
Sensha says.
BC waits.
Nothing?
When are we going? He asks.
We just did, Sentia says.
Wow, BC says in admiration.
I'm good, Sentia says. BC can hear the smile in her voice. And now, she pauses for a second, we're here.
At the base? BC asks, puzzled.
No, at the transit point near the base. I've got to fly us into the base itself.
BC feels and hears another low rumble.
We'll be there in about an hour, she says.
I told you that, Anita says to BC. It's still good to hear it from the pilot, BC says. Travel by flasher, who would have thunk it? Oof!
BC gets jerked to one side as the ship lurches.
Damn, Sensor says to herself.
Sorry about that, she says back over her shoulder to BC and Anita. Just a little bumpy in the roids. You know what they say, she says.
And she and Anita say it out loud together.
Roids are a pain in the ass.
What, is that the ship's bumper sticker? BC jokes.
No stickers on my ship, Sentia says way too seriously.
So sorry, BC apologizes. I was joking.
Can't talk now, Sentia says. Gotta dodge the rocks.
BC watches out the clear screen in front as they dodge through the rocks for about an hour. Small and large asteroids pass slowly by, some spinning, some just hanging in space. After a time, he notices a small dot in the center of the screen grow larger and remain centered.
Must be the base.
There's a light at the center of the dot. Both light and dot grow larger and larger as BC watches. The light gains form, becomes a square, then the outline of a square, in the center of the dot, which has grown into a large asteroid that keeps growing larger.
Looks like a platform, carved into the rock.
They approach the platform slowly.
Huh, bigger than I thought.
The craggy face of the asteroid disappears from view as they near the platform. The entire square of light around the opening passes beyond BC's sight before their ship is even within the opening. BC begins to make out details. The opening is honeycombed with doors and hatches of differing sizes. They look to be heading for one of the smaller doors in the middle of the larger opening. It opens. Light pours out to greet them. BC sees landing lights flashing inward in sequence, beckoning the ship in to land. Sentia brings them in slowly, smoothly. They touch down with just a small thump.
Thank you for flying the Sentia Express, Sentia says with a chuckle.
Off you go.
They're sealing a walkway up to the door you came in through as I speak. They've been expecting you, of course.
Thank you, Sentia, BC says. It was a pleasure to meet you, and a wonderful flight.
Aw, cut it out, she says.
Yes, please, do. Cut it out, Anita says menacingly.
Better stand up, you two, Sentia rebukes them. I'm about to make your chairs go away.
BC and Anita both snap to their feet as Sentia chuckles some more. The chairs melt away into the floor. After you, BC says with a sweep of his arm. Anita shakes her head.
Give me a break, she says with a touch of exasperation. I've got to go first. You don't know where you're going. Don't even pretend you're a gentleman.
Fine, just go ahead.
Just go already, Sentia says to them.
They make their way back through the ship's corridors and out through the airlock, then cross the walkway into the base itself. The number of people and the bustle of the place strike BC immediately.
Wow, there are people everywhere. It's like Lunar Prime in the good old days. Makes their moon base look completely deserted.
Hey, where'd she go?
BC, Anita calls to him through the crowd. She makes her way back to him. I thought you were right behind me. Come on. Sorry, a little distracted, BC says. She turns and heads back into the crowd. BC follows close behind.
Who are all these people?
She heads down a hallway, turns a few corners. She walks quickly. BC keeps up. The crowd thins as they walk into a quieter area.
This is the residential area, Anita tells him as they walk.
They set up a room for you nearby. She gestures ahead to their right.
This part of the base looks like any hotel on Earth, the moon, or in orbit.
Anita stops in front of a room on the right whose door is ajar.
Here we are, your room, she says. Get some rest, freshen up, and relax.
I got word on our way here that the old man isn't up for visitors today. You'll meet him first thing tomorrow.
Tomorrow? I thought he was waiting to see me.
He is. He's waiting until tomorrow to see you. Tomorrow. He's an old man, BC, she explains.
Gotcha. I understand. What am I supposed to do in the meantime? And I need to let the Vatican mission know I'm going to be away longer than planned.
Anita spreads her arms out in an overdramatic gesture of welcome.
Freshen up and relax. Your room, sir, she jokes. We'll send word to your secretary that you've been delayed, okay? She asks.
BC shrugs. Fine. He walks into the room.
No windows, huh?
You're deep inside a rock, Anita says. Not much to see.
Point taken, BC agrees.
An awkward silence ensues.
BC breaks it, awkwardly.
Do you want to come in?
Anita blushes.
No,
I mean, I can't, she stammers. Not right. I've got to check in, and there's stuff I got to go, she says. She quickly turns and closes the door behind her on her way out.
That was weird. Didn't think there was anything between us. She's cute in that rugged sort of way, I guess. Didn't really notice her eyes till just now. Beautiful brown eyes. And she blushed. I swear she blushed. What's that about? Not that anything is normal anymore. A secret base in the asteroids? Super ships? Alien races? Killer plagues? And the way she looked just then. Huh. Stupid. Let's not be stupid, BC. Remember, she did try to kill you. I always fall for the dangerous ones. Talk about stupid. Well, they've got full facilities, at least. All the amenities of home. High tech and high class. Might as well take a shower, get some rest, and get ready to meet the dead legend that ain't so dead after all. I can't believe I'm going to meet Van Kilmer.
That was part 4 of chapter 13. Part 4 of 5 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, BC has gone from hearing about the project and their secret asteroid base, and discovering Von Kilner was still alive, to now traveling out to that base to meet the man himself. And he will on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Hope you'll be back for that. Once again, just a few more days for you to take advantage of getting yourself the free graphic novel in PDF form of Vatican Assassin. That's Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, art by Christian Navarro and Juan Carlos Quatordio, available for free through drivethroughcomics.com. Just look for the link in the show notes, follow that link, or copy and paste it, because the info in the link is essential to getting yourself that free copy of the graphic novel. And again, thank you to my patrons. Thank you, if you're a patron, for helping me keep the show going, keep the gas in the tank, as it were. If you would like to become a patron and help with the show, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and follow the links to Patreon. You can do that for $2, $5, or $10 a month, whatever it might be worth to you. And of course, you don't have to support anyway. That's just if you feel inspired. We'll check out part 5 of 5 on our next episode, as we finish off the very long chapter 13 of Vatican Ambassador. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.